Time now for the quote of the week. You know, polls make clear that starting with the U.S., the citizens of Western countries aren't willing to send troops to fight in Ukraine. Well, it's not a surprise. I mean, who likes war? So instead, it's been a series of escalating sanctions. But you know what? There's been over 1,000 sanctions leveled on Putin's Russia, and they haven't worked before. After the Russian invasion and takeover of Crimea, come on, there were tons of sanctions and threats from NATO. Yet here we are 8 years later, and Russia's invaded Ukraine. Which brings me to my quote of the week by former world chess champion, known now as the chairman of the Human Rights Foundation. And I think we'd do well to listen. In quotes, "We are witnessing, literally watching live, Putin commit genocide on an industrial scale in Ukraine while the most powerful military alliance in history stands aside. This is already World War III. Putin started it long ago. Ukraine is only the current front, and he will escalate anyways. And it's even more likely if he succeeds in destroying Ukraine because you have again convinced him you won't stop him, even though you could. As I said in 2014, and a fateful week ago, the price of stopping a dictator always goes up. What would have been enough to stop Putin 8 years ago, or 6 months ago, or 2 weeks ago, is not enough today. And the price will rise again tomorrow. Fight, find a way." End of quote. Time now for the shocking stat of the week. And as I promised, I'm going to stay with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, but the dependence of the EU, especially Germany, on Russian oil. So how did it happen? Because there are lessons here for Canada and the U.S. and the rest of the Western world. So I'm going to start with a quote by Michael Schellenberger. He's the author of numerous books. Time magazine called him a hero of the environment. He's president of Environmental Progress. In quotes, "How is it possible that European countries, Germany especially, allowed themselves to become so dependent on authoritarian country over the 30 years since the end of Cold War? Here's how. These countries are in the grips of a delusional ideology that makes them incapable of understanding the hard realities of energy production. Green ideology insists we don't need nuclear and that we don't need fracking. It insists that it's just a matter of will and money to switch to all renewables and fast. It insists that we need to degrowth the economy and we face a looming human extinction. How do I know? Well, I myself was once a true believer." Well, that's sort of the context when I get to the shocking stats, and that's European dependence was actually a goal for Russia. They wanted it, and it was the inevitable consequences of European policy. Sounds hard to believe, but listen to these numbers. Europe produces about 3.6 million barrels a day of oil. You know what? It uses 15 million barrels a day. Europe produces 230 billion cubic meters of natural gas, but uses about 240% more than they produce. Same with coal. Europe uses about double the amount of coal that it produces. Now contrast that with Russia, with a goal of increasing their nuclear power so it could export excess oil, gas, and coal. Russia produces about 11 million barrels of oil per day, but it only uses 3.4 million. Russia produces over 700 billion cubic meters of gas per year, but it only uses about 60% of it. Russia mines 800 million tons of coal per year, but uses only 300 million tons. And the end result? Well, they had all sorts of room to export to Europe who needed it. And we're seeing the results now. 20% of Europe's oil, 40% of its gas, 20% of its coal, all of it comes from Russia. Which is why this week, as an example, the German economy minister, Robert Habeck, stated, "I wouldn't support an embargo on imports of fossil fuels from Russia. I wouldn't even speak out against it because we would threaten the social peace in the Republic with that." Well, in other words, he's saying the rocketing high prices, which they've experienced enough of already, by the way, and they had shortages this past fall, but that would cause huge social dislocation. And I agree with him. If you want to cause social unrest, why not choose two subjects, food and fuel? Well, that's exactly what we've done. But my point, it's a direct consequence of government policy. Time now for this week's Goofy Award. You know what? And I send it out lovingly to all the politicians, activists, most school teachers, many healthcare workers, CBC, university faculty members, and other members of what are called the self-described. I mean, they describe themselves this way, of the progressive left, who vilified oil and the people who work in the industry, including the thousands of First Nations and union workers and the communities and provinces that produce it. Because they will now see their salaries, wage increases, secured by the windfall revenues produced for federal and provincial governments like BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Newfoundland because of the massive increase in oil and gas prices. Come on, it's more than a little ironic that oil and gas, the most hated commodities in the country, will be the biggest factor in getting federal finances on a more sustainable footing. And securing their salaries, by the way, while pouring, what, billions more into provincial coffers. I just find that astounding. I wonder if they'd say no to a raise because it was funded by revenues from oil and gas. Well, we'll see. I doubt it. Hey, look, before I go, I got to thank all of you who supported Special Olympics with their donation to the Polar Plunge. I think it's an, I look forward to sort of bringing top of mind the issues facing people with intellectual disabilities and their families. People with autism but could be Fragile X, it could be Down syndrome. I mean, there's so many more. The forgotten people in our communities, in our country at large. And I could give you lots of examples of that, but that's not the time because you didn't forget them. So many of the people who listen to Money Talks, follow us on Money Talks tweets or Mike's MoneyTalks.ca or Michael Campbell's Facebook and people who go to Ozzy's site, OzBuzz.ca and all of his friends that are in the action groups, etc. Well, I want to thank you for the outpouring of support. It meant a great deal to me personally, but far more important than that, it means a great deal to the people of Special Olympics. If you'd still like to donate, absolutely never too late, but not too late. Hey, just go to mikesmoneytalks.ca, mikesmoneytalks.ca. We've got it right there. You click there. You're looking for the Michael Campbell Polar Plunge team. And I can't tell you how much we appreciate it, as I said. I'm telling you, it puts a big smile on my face, although I'll tell you this. It is not enough to make me look forward to jumping in that cold ocean on Sunday.